Good morning, everyone. That's just a little test so that Kevin can get the sound right down at the back there. Lovely to be here this morning. It's a joy. This is my first time in Dundalk Baptist Church. And so it was a little bit tricky finding my way, but I got here nice and early. And it's just lovely to see you. Lovely to see the difference in nationalities. I just want to find out exactly where you're all from, because this is amazing. I don't think I've ever been in a service where there have been so many nationalities. So we've got I know we've got someone from Puerto Rico, someone from Italy, someone from the US, someone...
Nigeria.
They're always the loudest. They're always the loudest. And I know that, because in the little church in Ilo, in South Peru, where we're pastoring, we have a very special friend from Nigeria. Her name is Victoria. So the Nigerians are taking over the world. So they are. So it's... And praise the Lord. Of course, it's a joy to be here, a particular privilege to share God's word with you this morning. And then a little bit later, we'll be looking at just what God has been doing for us and with us and through us in the land of Peru. So we're going to turn to God's word just now, and we're going to be reading from Psalm 100, a very familiar psalm, a psalm that I'm sure many of you have read, maybe even some of you have memorized. And it's a very special psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. We're going to continue the theme that we've been using this morning, just to praise God and to thank God for His goodness, for His love, for His mercy, and the many, many, many blessings that are ours day by day. So let's turn to Psalm 100. There are five verses, and we're going to read all five, and then I'm going to turn to verse 5, and I want to highlight verse 5 in particular this morning, and that's what we're going to be studying together. So Psalm 100. And we're going to read from verse number 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray God's blessing. Father, we thank You again for the privilege of being here in this Your house. Thank You already for Michael, who has led us in worship and in praise, helping us to focus our eyes upon You. It's all about You. And we thank You for the privilege of knowing You, those who have entrusted their lives to You, those who can testify of sins forgiven and a life that has been changed, and the joy and privilege of walking with You day by day. Father, we do bless Your name, and we thank You for the many blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, Your Son, the one who gave Himself, the one who died that we might live forever and ever. And so, Father, we pray just now that You'll help us to understand what You would say to us this morning. I pray for help. And I pray for help, too, for those who will listen, that together we might hear Your voice, that together our eyes might be fixed upon You, that our hearts might be strangely warmed as we walk with You this morning, and that we might know Your blessing, that we might leave this place saying, what a blessing it was to be in God's presence. Father, we thank You, and we ask, Lord, that You'll lead us and guide us just now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 100. And verse 5, for the Lord is good, His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Now, I want to look this morning at a very simple title that says, Our God Never Fails. Our God never fails. He will never let you down. He is always with you. And even when trouble may strike, even when the way might get difficult, our God never fails. He is always with us. And when we think about mission, whether it's here in Dundalk, or whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in Puerto Rico, whether it's in Italy, whether it's in Peru, our God is a faithful God to bless everything that we would do in His name. It is to Him we ascribe greatness, and it is He who we want to share with others. We must make every effort that others get to know God. That's His purpose. That's why He created us, that He might have an intimate relationship with us and us with Him.
And that's what mission is all about, making God known. And yet, I believe serving God is the greatest mission in all the world. There is nothing like serving God. We may all have different professions. We may all have different interests in life. But there is nothing that compares to serving God. And that ought to be our first goal. That must be our first priority, to serve Him wherever He would place us and with the gifts that He has given to us. And yet, if serving God is the greatest invention in the world, why do so few do it? Why are there so few involved in God's mission to be reconciled to His world? Why are there so few sharing His message? Maybe some would say, well, I don't have any gift. I can't speak the language. I don't like to travel. Some others might say, well, I couldn't leave my family. Or for me, I don't have much spare cash to help with mission. Others might even say, I'm not very good at praying. Let's stop making excuses. Because you see, if you and I are children of God, then we have the tremendous privilege not only of knowing Him, but in making Him known. And maybe you've used some of these excuses. But when we think about the faithfulness of God, and this is what I want to highlight this morning, when we think of the faithfulness of God, then none of those excuses, nor even 1,000 more excuses, could ever stand. Because no matter what I say, God is faithful. No matter what I might pretend, God is faithful. Our God is a faithful God. And please allow me to suggest that the reason we are not involved in God's mission is that we don't believe He is a faithful God. That He is the true and living God who can and will deal with all of our excuses, whatever they may be. Believe me, after many, many years of knowing Him and serving Him in the land of Peru, I have proved over and over again that our God is a faithful God. And dear friends, this morning, I believe there is no greater motivation to mission than the faithfulness of God. What is it that keeps us going when the way gets difficult, when people reject us, when there's persecution? The faithfulness of God. I love the words of the hymn by Robert Critchley. This is what it says. Beautiful words. We want to look just at two verses. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and in wonder, I behold your face singing, what a faithful God have I. The third verse of this lovely hymn goes like this. Lord, all sovereign grace, granting peace from heaven, let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. I will tell of your great love for as long as I live, singing, what a faithful God have I. What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. Is that how you know Him today? Are you proving Him to be faithful? Are you and I faithful in response to Him? How is our God a faithful God? You see, if we only could understand this, if we could only but grasp a little of just how faithful God is, then I believe we would consider it pure joy to serve Him wherever He would send us and under whatever circumstances. And I want to suggest 5 reasons this morning why our God is a faithful God. And if we could grasp that, as I've mentioned, then I believe we will leave this building and we will want to serve Him, knowing that today, right now, in my situation, I serve a faithful God. For the Lord is good. His love, His unfailing love, continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. First of all, number one, our God is faithful in forgiving us. And that's, we've already been talking about that. We've already been singing about that this morning. And that is the chief reason why we come into God's presence, to say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Many of us can testify to the moment when we realized that without God, we were lost. We were already condemned. Now and forever. And what a change took place when we turned to Jesus. And we trusted in that incredible work that took place at the cross called Calvary. You see, God demonstrated his great love for us in that while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to die for us. And that's why we come in wonder. And that's why we come in awe. To think that the God of heaven gave the very best that he had, his only Son, and that Jesus came. And although he never committed one single sin, took all of my sin and your sin upon himself, the just dying for the unjust. All our sin was cast on him so that you and I might be forgiven. The greatest reason for joy for the Christian today is to know that he or she is forgiven. And John tells us about that in his letter in 1 John chapter 1. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a message for all. This is a message for Dundalk. This is a message for Ireland. This is a message for Nigeria, for Italy, for Puerto Rico, for all the countries of the world. We, the people of God, have a message to tell, a message that must be heard. And the Bible reminds us that God is not willing that anyone should perish. God wants everyone to come to him. He's drawing people from every tribe and every nation to himself. And the only way to God is through the cross. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Are we as passionate about sharing God's love as he is about showing it? And this is why, dear friends, you and I can be and must be involved in God's mission. It is the greatest mission in the world. There is nothing like serving him and sharing this message of grace and of love. Our God is a faithful God in forgiving us. We need to tell that message to those we know and those we love. Secondly, our God is a faithful God in strengthening us. And maybe you are finding being a Christian and serving God is difficult. Maybe you, like me, would say, well, I was okay until I met Jesus, and then the problems seemed to come more and more and more. And that's because, you see, the devil's never happy when a sinner turns to Christ. When a sinner seeks God's face and is born again and enters God's family, for the devil, that's one more soul lost. But maybe you found that God, yes, he was faithful in saving you and making you his child and forgiving you, but then the way got difficult. And even as a child, there have been times, maybe even times like now, when you have felt lonely. When you felt abandoned, when you felt frustrated, when you are hurt and broken and confused and hopeless. Times when this God of love and mercy seems literally a million miles away from your reality. Again, I love the words that speak of God's faithfulness. We read of them in Lamentations chapter 3. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. When the day gets so dark and the way gets so difficult, I have a God. You have a God, dear child of God, who is there to strengthen you. We draw on his strength when we are weak. The writer here, you see, speaks of a very different reality. His love never ends. His mercies never cease. He is so faithful that his mercies to me begin afresh each morning. He is all I need now and for the future. And that's why I can hope in him. I love this little chorus. It's an old little chorus. But listen to what it says. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again and again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, whatever your storm is today, your love is the anchor, and my hope is in you alone. You see, I believe the difficulties of life, whether it's the loss of a job, maybe it's a family problem, maybe it's an illness, maybe you're just feeling frustrated, maybe God just isn't answering the way you want him to answer. But I believe the difficulties of life give us an opportunity to experience the faithfulness of God. Paul emphasizes this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. And listen, he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. God may permit certain things in your life, in your family, in your work situation, but he will strengthen you so that you can support those things, so you can withstand those things, so you can get through those things. You can depend on him for everything because he is the faithful one. And this is why you and I can be and must be involved in God's mission. I don't have any excuse to say to him, why not? Because he's the one who forgives. Because our God is the one who strengthens us. We must never give up on trusting in him, even in the storms of life. Number three this morning, our God is faithful in protecting us. In protecting us. God not only forgives and strengthens, but our God is a faithful God who protects us. In Psalm 91 and verse 4 we read, isn't this lovely? This is so intimate, this is so caring, this is so loving. He says, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. This was actually the verse that Christine's dad, my wife, gave us when we left for Peru many, many years ago. We had no idea then just how we would prove his promises to be true. Indeed, almost on a daily basis. I have to confess, I must be honest with you and say, there have been times of danger. There have been times of crisis. Times of fear. Times when our health has failed. 2003, the doctors advised me to call my family, Christine and our two children, and say goodbye to them. I had a perforated bowel. There was no possible opportunity to intervene surgically. And the surgeon had never done anything like this before. There was no possible hope of survival. It was time to say farewell. And they called Christine and they called my two children. Rebecca was just 8 at the time. My son was just 5. And Christine read to me. I was so weak I couldn't pray. She also prayed for me. And I felt right at that moment that God was giving me a second chance. And I asked the surgeon to come back again. I said, Doctor, I need you to operate. And if I don't waken up, then I will be in God's presence. But if I do waken up, it's for his glory. I want you to operate. He said, I can't do this surgery on my own. And it just so happened to be that there was another lady surgeon in the hospital at that particular time, just a small 20-bed hospital, and they began surgery within an hour. They saved my life. I'm here today. And that was 14 years ago. And God has been so good. God has been so faithful in protecting us. When health has failed, times when we felt vulnerable, times when we felt isolated, times when we felt like this one, when I was far from family and for any possible help. In all of these times, he has watched over us and he's protected us. And that's why we love that incredible hymn, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, dear friends, even in temptation, even when temptation in all its disguise seeks to ensnare us and cause us to fall, Paul reminds us that our God is a faithful God. We read that he not only protects us, but that he also provides a way of escape. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, says Paul. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's how faithful our God is. I've often found that the more we serve God, the more we are tempted to sin by our three arch enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh. But our God is faithful. And dear friends, this is why you must pray for your pastor. This is why you must pray for the leaders of the church. Because they are the ones that will be attacked first as God seeks to, or as the devil in the world and our flesh seeks to bring God's work down. But our God is faithful and he will protect us. We were praying and what a thrill. And you've blessed me today. I love that open time of prayer. And just to hear you pray for different situations, different people, here locally in Dundalk, and people are all around the world. Thank you so much for that. What an encouragement. Because you see, we believe that whatever the situation is, God will protect his children. No matter what happens, our God cannot fail. And he will protect us. And this is why. This is why you and I must and can be and must be involved in God's mission. Because our God is a faithful God to forgive us. Our God is a faithful God to strengthen us. Our God is a faithful God to protect us. And listen, and we've already been singing this today. Our God is a faithful God in blessing us. Our God blesses us like no other God. Because there is no other God that is alive today, that takes care of his children, that watches over us, that provides for us in every single way. That is why we sing, what a faithful God have I. But there are those who will think that, well, I could never be that fanatical Christian. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm going to heaven one day, and that's it. You see, they feel to be more involved with God, to be involved in God's mission, it would mean giving up so much. In part, that's true. But think about what there is to gain. It may well mean leaving a comfortable home, a secure job, a clean and healthy lifestyle. It may mean bringing your children up with homeschooling. But my dear friends, what a privilege, what a joy it is to serve God. And he has promised to bless. Even in the hardships, God has promised to bless. I love the words and the experience of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. Jacob says, I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home, I crossed the river Jordan, and I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now, my household fills two large camps. Highlighting again, whatever we have to give up for God, it is nothing in comparison to the many, many blessings that come our way. Our faithful God is the source. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We are so blessed, and we must never forget any of God's blessings, says the psalmist. And I've no doubt when you read Psalm 23, for instance, you may even have memorized this psalm too, but at times you struggle believing it, that he is the good shepherd, and in trusting in him, we will lack no good thing. Who, me? Serve God? No, that's impossible. God's not calling me into his work, into his mission. Maybe you're like Abraham and God has made you a promise and you're struggling because God hasn't fulfilled that promise. You asked him for something maybe years ago and that's why you're not serving him. God hasn't blessed you the way you wanted him to bless you. Let's remind ourselves of God's promise to bless Abraham. And in Genesis 18, verse 13 and 14, we read this. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. You see, when God makes a promise to bless us, he will fulfill that promise. Because God can never, ever fail. And even though Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years for God to fulfill his promise, fulfill it, he did. God kept his promise. Abraham and Sarah were blessed with a son, even against all odds. And they subsequently became a great blessing to many nations. And this is why. This is why you and I can be and must be involved in God's mission. He is the faithful one to bless us and through us to bless others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fifthly and finally, our God is a faithful God in calling us. And this is where it gets a little bit uncomfortable. Now you might, like me, you might rejoice this morning. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for protecting me. And Lord, I thank you for blessing me. But you see, this is where for many Christians it stops. Because you see, I believe our God is faithful in calling you and me. We cannot escape this. If you're a child of God, you too are called into God's mission. And we must obey. There is no opt-out clause. There is no other option. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we are God's masterpiece. I love that. You know what that's an idea of a beautiful, expensive, a one-only picture hanging on the wall. There's nothing like it. It's unique. You and I are unique. There's nothing like you and me. And God says, you're my masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. You see, God's got a plan and a purpose. I love, how do you say purpose? Those of you who are from Nigeria, I love the way you say this word. How do you say purpose? Purpose. I love that. I love that. And Victoria says it just like that back in Peru. God has a purpose for your life and for mine. God has a perfect plan. And he wants to fulfill that purpose in your life. But we need to come. He's calling you to come. I want to do a great work in you and through you. Leave it to me. Trust me. God has saved us first and foremost that we would worship him. And we've been doing that today. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. What a joy to be able to worship our God and to open our hearts and sing praise to him. Worthy he is of all our praise. But then, as an expression of that worship, we are saved, we are forgiven that we might serve him. And this is not just for some. This is God's expectation of all of us. He takes us with all our limitations, all our feelings, all our fears, all our doubts, and tells us, hey, you're in my mission. You're working with me. And one day we're going to bring people from every tribe and every nation. And we're going to come and we're going to be together with him forever and ever. And just like we've heard, where there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God will do this. For he is faithful to do what he says. And listen, this is really important. And he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The moment you asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, the moment you sought forgiveness, and you said, Lord, here am I want to be your child today and forever. From that moment on, you entered into a partnership with Jesus Christ. And God is using Jesus Christ and his children to fulfill his purpose. And in a partnership, both must work together. You and I must work with Jesus. Now, Jesus could do it on his own. He's all powerful. But he uses us, and that's a tremendous joy. I don't know why he should use you and me. But he uses us and wants to use us in order to reach others. A partnership that centers around God reconciling himself to those who are still lost in sin and in darkness. Oh, dear friends, I can think of no higher calling. We have been reconciled to God, and now he makes his appeal to others through us. He has given to each one of us his message of reconciliation. And that's why the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, and ultimately to us as believers, according to Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China, is not an option to be considered. It's not something we can go away with and, well, I'm going to think about that. That sounds great. That sounds good. It's not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Paul gives us a clear picture of this calling in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what are we doing with that ministry? What are we doing with that message? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us, to you and to me, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us in order to get to others, that others too might know of his love and his grace. Dear friends, the challenge this morning as we sit in Dundalk Baptist Church, it matters not what your educational ability is. It matters not what country of origin you're from. It matters not what gifts you might have or feel you might not have. The challenge this morning is this: what will we do with God's message, the message of the gospel? I believe there are only three ways that we can be involved. We can either go with the message. That's to the people in our family, to the people who live across the street. Great venture, great outreach coming up soon. Michael and Ashley have organised. What a tremendous practical way of just getting people together at Easter time and hearing about God's love. So we can go with the message, or we can give to it. Maybe you can't go to the other end of the world, but you can give to help others who can go. And that's a way of being part of God's mission, you see. So we can go with it, we can give to it, but all of us, listen, all of us can pray for it. Pray that God would bless the preaching of his word here week by week, every outreach effort into this community, across our land, across our world. We can be involved. God wants us to be involved. God commands us. He's calling us to be involved. God's mission must become our work, our daily work, in our homes, in our schools, in our colleges, in our town, in our country, in our nation, to right around the world. You see, our God never fails. We are his ambassadors, and we must never give up as we serve the King of Kings. Have you got the message here this morning? As we consider God's faithfulness, there is no greater adventure in this world than serving God. Why do people not do it? It's because they don't have they haven't fully grasped what a faithful God we have. If only we could but see he is faithful to forgive, to strengthen, to protect, to bless, and even in calling us, as he calls, he has promised to equip us, give us everything we need to be those ambassadors. And you see, that's why, as we stand before God this morning, we have no viable excuse for not being involved in God's mission whenever we remember what a faithful God we have. And the challenge is, are you and I faithful to him? Maybe you've heard God's call to mission, to be more involved in this church, to pray more, to give more, to go more often with this message. But you're coming up again with excuse after excuse. You could add to my little list of excuses that I mentioned at the beginning. And you see, that reminds me, as I close, that reminds me of Moses. Remember that special time when God had a really special encounter with him? And God had a task for Moses, a job for Moses to do. And he first of all reminded Moses of his faithfulness, of what a faithful God he is and was and will always be. And then we read of how Moses reacted. And this is maybe how you are going to react this morning. God's calling you. God wants you to be involved in his mission. But you're going to say, but who am I? I'm just an ordinary person. I don't possess any great gift. And so you're saying to God this morning, who am I? Who am I to go with this message, to give to this message, to pray for this message? God answers, I'll be with you. But Moses comes up with another excuse. Whoa, what should I tell them? And he goes on again, even though God reminds him of who he is. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? And he goes on again, excuse after excuse. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. You must be thinking of someone else. And here's the saddest excuse of all. Lord, please send someone else. Please send someone else. And God did send someone else. He sent his brother Aaron. And Moses missed out on the blessing. Missed out on what God had for him. Is that going to happen to you today? You realize afresh now how faithful God is. And you're coming up with more excuses. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24 we read, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. After all, consider what great things he has done for you. There's no other way to respond, you see. When we realize the great things God has done for us through his son, then Lord, whatever it is, I'm here. I have to serve you. I want to serve you because you're a faithful God. Will you keep on making excuses? Or will you say this in prayer? Lord, I know you are good. I know you are faithful. I know that you've forgiven me. You've already shown me your strength and protection. You have blessed me beyond measure. And I now realize you want to use me to be a blessing to others. And so in simple faith, I say to you, Lord, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Why? Because our God is a faithful God who never fails us, and we must never fail him. My God is always faithful. And just so you don't forget that little phrase, I brought some pens from the land of Peru, much cheaper to buy them and get them made there. And on those little pens, you'll see that phrase, Dios es siempre fiel. Now you're learning some Spanish this morning. Dios es siempre fiel. God is always faithful. And may he bless you today and in all your efforts for him. In Jesus' name, I pray.